You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about VNS, vagal nerve stimulation. There are a variety of ways to do this. You can do this through implantable devices. There are a lot of consumer devices available. You can do it through acupuncture. That's one of the traditional ways. Sometimes they hook up an electric current to acupuncture, especially when they hook it up to your ear. But taking it to a very, very high level of scientific precision is today's guest, Dr. Peter Staats. Dr. Staats is an expert in pain medicine. He's written or co-edited 13 books and close to 500 articles, abstracts, monographs, and book chapters on pain. And he's also been highlighted in the media, Good Morning America, CBS Evening News, Newsweek, and CNN. He's currently ElectroCare's chief medical officer. ElectroCore.com is the website. He's also a co-founder of that organization. They have developed a device called the True Vega device, which is applied to the area of the neck to deliver safe and effective electrical current at the appropriate frequency to stimulate the vagus nerve. And it's got a myriad of applications. So let's talk about some of the conditions that it's helpful for, Dr. Staats. First of all, headaches, migraine sufferers, they have some newer medication. Newer medications are partially effective, but there's no root cause treatment for migraines. So what has your research shown with migraineurs?
So the work that we did with migraineurs was with a medical device called the GammaCore device. And we looked at a variety of medical indications with the GammaCore device. We started, as I mentioned, with airway reactivity and asthma. And interestingly, while we were studying the patients with asthma, we asked the patients, as most scientists do, is, are you experiencing anything else? Did you feel anything else? And some of the patients reported back, my headache went away. And that was an aha moment for us that potentially the vagus nerve could help with headaches. And we then spent an enormous amount of time trying to figure out how and why that works in headaches. We did some work with a number of investigators across the country and really across the globe, looking at mechanisms, showing that glutamate, some of these excitatory neurotransmitters in the brain, get upregulated during a migraine, could be normalized with vagus nerve stimulation. We looked at things like inflammation. We talked in the previous session about IL-6, but IL-1 beta is one of those pro-inflammatory cytokines that are upregulated during migraines. And we show that that could be normalized. TNF-alpha is another one of those that could be normalized. So we've got demonstrating improvement in things like glutamate. We also looked at serotonin and norepinephrine. We've looked at inflammatory cytokines. We've looked at blood flow in the brain. And all of these pointed towards vagus nerve stimulation should potentially be an effective treatment for migraines and other types of headaches. We then went off and did a series of studies. We looked, starting with cluster headaches, which is also called suicide headaches. They're the worst headache known to man.
Yep.
Or woman. And they are just these awful one-sided headaches that people just want to shoot themselves or bang their head against the wall because the pain is intolerable. And we showed that we could prevent the clusters from coming on. And then if they do come, they were generally more mild and they could be aborted with the vagus nerve stimulation as well.
Wow.
So we got our first FDA approval back in 2017 for the gammaCore device for prevention. The first study was actually first approval was acute treatment of cluster headache. Second was prevention. We also had migraine, acute and prevention. And to date in the gammaCore family, we've studied well over thousands of patients, with cluster migraine and other types of headaches. And now I have approvals for adolescent migraine, acute and prevention, and acute and prevention in cluster as well. So that was really where we got started. And this has then, spiderwebbed into a whole bunch of different areas. You mentioned Parkinson's disease. We did some work with, a group in Europe looking at Parkinson's disease and showed that we could improve the Parkinson's gait, but also brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF, which is something that some of your listeners may know of. It's thought to be more of a reparative, I don't say neurotransmitter, but neurotrophic factor.
Mm-hmm.
Glutathione, which is the scavenger of inflammation, that was thought to be shown to be improved in their studies, as well as TNF-alpha. So that's an important area. Another area we're looking at is post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's something that's near my heart because for both the citizens out there who have experienced post-traumatic stress disorder, somewhere around 6% of the population, but the veterans, they have a much higher incidence, 14 to 20% of them have been diagnosed with PTSD.
And I think the Veterans Administration, because they're so stymied with this condition and it's so prevalent, they're very open to alternative approaches they're even exploring the use of psychedelics because conventional approaches with current psychiatric drugs really don't cut it.
That's exactly right. And the therapeutic options have traditionally been cognitive behavioral therapy and SSRI drugs, which have just, we'll say, failed our veterans. They're not working particularly well. And so they're looking at other things like psychedelics and stellate ganglion blocks. And interestingly, a stellate ganglion blocks, if you look at, if you want to just do a cursory look, you'll see that this is gaining popularity. They're blocking the sympathetics. And what we're doing is we're activating the parasympathetics. Mm-hmm. So we're both trying to achieve the same thing of a balance of sympathetic, parasympathetic tone, but one is doing it with blocking and the other is doing with activating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point we'll do more studies to try to help tease out, do I want to block this first and then activate this? And, or is one better than the other? We don't know. But these are areas that are being looked at. We got a breakthrough designation from the FDA for that in, I think it was 2022, which is not the same as a full FDA approval, but it's indicating that, the preliminary work that we've submitted to the FDA is interesting. We've already, in my mind, demonstrated safety with the thousands of people who have been treated with our migraines, but they need some more work before they grant a full approval for that. And we can just go down and we talked a little bit about acute treatment of stroke. Interesting, we're not doing a lot of work on post-stroke recovery, but there's a company out there that makes an implanted device on the vagus that's helping people recover after a stroke.
Hmm.
So
both acute and chronic applications.
Yeah. Right. And these are all some of the afferent pathways, but kind of switch gears and go into the efferent pathways. There's a whole blossoming area of research going on looking at inflammation and diseases associated with inflammation. Rheumatoid arthritis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company out there that is making an implanted device for rheumatoid arthritis. Now, they're not at the FDA approval state yet that I know of, but they're doing really good work with this implanted device.
But it sounds like there's a little bit of a gold rush with this. You know, a lot of companies recognizing the potential, and they're doing the research to vet this for FDA approval.
Yeah, I think there is. I think that's a very, fair way of saying it, because, again, I see us in the midst, right in the middle of a paradigm shift. And you can't ever tell that there was a paradigm shift in science or medicine until after the fact.
Right.
But I think we're in that right now. And that can take years, if not decades. But we're transitioning from a drug-only approach to let's really accept and validate the use of electricity. That's half of your body, right? Your nervous system all works on electricity. Your cells all work on electricity. It's in some ways kind of remarkable that since Einstein said this in 1934, we've almost ignored that aspect of medicine. And only now are we kind of making a full revolution to say, well, let's look at that. Maybe we can do more with electricity.
What about gastrointestinal disorders? Because we know that certain GI disorders are based on problems with motility. And the vagus nerve, boy, directly connected to the GI tract with manifest connections. So what can we say about it? Really a two-way highway, because they actually are saying that even the microbiome may influence the vagus nerve, and in turn, the brain influences, the profound gut-brain connection, and the vagus nerve is the eight-lane highway.
I love that. I'm going to steal that. I'll give you credit, though. But we've been talking about mind-body medicine or the gut-brain access for literally 100 years. We've been talking about that kind of not crisply. But when we stop and we use the scientific method and say, okay, what do we mean when we say mind-brain medicine? Or what do we mean by the gut-brain interaction? Somehow we're saying, okay, the gut gets information to the brain and vice versa. But how's that happening? It's happening via the vagus nerve. And if you start to alter the gut microbiome and you see good effects, but then cut the vagus nerve, you lose those good effects.
Yep.
This information is making its way to the brain via the vagus. It's incredibly important. And honestly, I'm kind of still struck how much we've ignored that innervation of the gut in Western medicine, in gastroenterology. There's a subspecialty of gastroenterology called neurogastroenterology that you're really looking at this right now. And we've worked with the group at Stanford. Lynn DeWin was the lead author in that group there, or the senior author in that group there. And she showed that in patients with early satiety, gastromotility disorders, use of vagus nerve stimulation could significantly improve a variety of metrics, bloating, satiety, abdominal pain, et cetera. And recently, Jay Pasricha, who was at Johns Hopkins, my alma mater, and later is now at Mayo Clinic, did some work showing some of the similar findings. And he's only reported that results in an abstract form at one of the big gastroenterology meetings. But that paper is not out yet, but it's, public information. What I just told you, I can't tell you more than that. So
there's a condition called gastroparesis, which is a pretty devastating condition. It doesn't respond well to pharmaceutical drugs. Some of the drugs, even have been outlawed in the United States because they have, they're dirty drugs. They have, beneficial effects in some parts of the body, but a lot of bad side effects. Can vagal nerve stimulation or even implantable stimulators like gastric pacemakers be the thing of the future?
I think so. I think, I think that's the right way to describe it. It's a thing of the future because it's not quite ready for prime time. But I understand people today have problems and they need solutions. So I would, for these complicated issues, I would suggest people talk to their doctor about that, because these are areas that have been shown to work, maybe not to the FDA standard yet, but they are been demonstrated to work. So it's something that I do think is a very, very reasonable thing to think about.
So, for example, the heart seems like a kind of an easier fix, because we have now for many, many years had pacemakers, which are pretty effective for people who need them and keep their hearts beating.
Yeah.
But we haven't cracked the code on organs like the intestines or the bladder, because they seem to be more complex organs. But
yeah,
it seems like with the development of miniaturization and more sophisticated AI, machine learning, and so on, that we can in the future develop devices for people who have, for example, severe refractory constipation or real problems with bladder control, a starting and stopping the flow.
And I think there will be some discovery that takes place, but there's work going on with spinal cord stimulation, in the spinal cord like we do for pain, but also using it for gastric and abdominal pain problems. Then there's cervical vagus that's being done for abdominal pain. There's actually an auricular device that's approved for abdominal pain in children. And there's a whole group of work that was done out of France looking at inflammatory bowel disease with an implanted device in people who had failed the biologics.
Wow.
So this is, in fact, a cutting edge area of research that I think makes sense. If you, one of the things that I think we're going to have to get to and grapple with is we have to make a better diagnosis. A diagnosis of my belly hurts is not good enough anymore. We're going to want to be able to assess the function of the nervous system, like we can do with, you know, if you can't move your right arm, we do a nerve conduction study, or we an assessment of that, why that is. I think we're going to get to a point where we're actually doing a much better job at studying the nervous system. And I suspect that a large percentage of those patients are patients who have had a damage to the vagus nerve.
Right.
And that is why they're having ineffective treatment with all the different therapies that we throw at.
Well, I think the analogy is in cardiology. We have a subspecialty of electrophysiology. And if you have atrial fibrillation, they send you to the electrophysiologist who maps the conduction pathways in your heart and then can pinpoint the ones that are aberrant and then zap them to fix your atrial fibrillation. And maybe in the future, we can either zap or augment, depending on the condition, you know, some of the nerve pathways in different organs, other organs in the body.
I'm sure you're correct. I'm sure we're going to get there.
Yep. It's just a matter of time as technology leaps forward. And I just wanted to talk about the Truvaga device, because practically speaking, let's say people go to the website electrocore.com and they say, well, I want to try this out. You know, either they just want to optimize, you know, there are a lot of biohacker listeners who, you know, they want to try whatever's the latest, greatest life-enhancing, anti-aging, you know, gadget. Or alternatively, people will say, you know, I have this condition, I'm having, for example, sleep problems, mood problems, anxiety. They want to optimize that. So they go there. Can they order the device, or is it just available by prescription? Is it something that direct to consumer, or how does that work?
Well, so the Truvaga device is went through a different pathway, and it is an electronic consumer device.
Okay.
It does use a similar frequency. It may not be quite as strong as the gammaCore device, but it does stimulate the vagus nerve. And there are two different types there. There's Truvaga and Truvaga Plus. The Truvaga Plus has an unlimited number of doses over the next few years. And I say unlimited, I think they tap out at a certain number per day, but it's a large number, more than anybody will use.
Right.
And that's app based. So if you have a cell phone, it's controlled by your cell phone. So, you know, they're a few hundred dollars. You know, we've done studies looking at anxiety and sleep and mood and shown an improvement in all those different metrics.
And then there's the gammaCore device, and that's available through health professionals. Is that correct?
That's correct. The gammaCore device is really indicated for medical diseases like migraines or like Parkinson's. It's not FDA approved for Parkinson's yet, but that's what we're working on.
It could be an off-label application potentially. Yeah. I think that's
right.
That's kosher these days. You can do that. But if the official designation is for cluster headaches and migraines, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but that you'd have to see a health professional. Hopefully that the word is getting out to neurologists as an option. Okay. So then how do you use these devices? Do you have a daily session, you know, like, is it a matter of daily self-care, or do you wait to, you know, when you feel a headache's coming on and then you use it, or, you know, what's the usual pattern of usage and how long does it take? I mean, you have to allocate a lot of time to a treatment.
Yeah. So one of the beauties of this is you don't have to allocate a lot of time. Depending on the severity of your problem, it's either 2 minutes in the morning, you find your carotid pulse, feel your neck and feel the little beep, beep, beep. And that's your carotid pulse. The vagus nerve runs right down next to the carotid artery. So you know if you can find your pulse, you can find the carotid. You place the device with a little bit of gel right on the neck and you turn it on and you hold it up to a tolerable level for about 2 minutes. And that's a dose. For many people, doing that twice a day is all people need to do. So 4 minutes is all that some people need.
Mm-hmm.
Other people with more complicated issues use it more than that, four minutes or two doses in the morning and two doses at night. On the medical indication side with PTSD and whatnot, it's typically that three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's as high as 12 minutes a day, which is really pretty tolerable for most people. And of course, if you have an acute attack, if you're using the gammaCore device and you get a migraine, you can use it to abort the migraine from ever coming on.
Mm-hmm.
So the device has come preloaded and approved for 24 doses per day, and it's been demonstrated to be safe. And that's on the gammaCore side. Similarly, the Truvaga side is safe to be used as you need it. If you're feeling anxious, one could be using the device. If you don't feel like your mood's where you want it to be, or if you're worried about sleeping tonight, use it before you go to sleep at night. And so there's a lot of, but your original question of how much time, I would say most people it's 4 minutes a day and mm-hmm. some a little bit from there.
And so what I was going to ask you was the, I guess I lost my train of thought on the next question. This is what I wanted to ask. So in addition to subjective improvements, you know, people say, you know, I think I'm sleeping better. I feel more relaxed, or, you know, it's lifted my mood. I feel refreshed. My GI symptoms are better. My headaches are milder or non-existent. Is there an objective metric that people can use to gauge their progress? So, for example, a lot of people are into wearable devices, and these devices can render your heart rate variability. Is it likely that people will see an improvement in that with no change in diet or exercise and just, you know, an index of better autonomic tone?
Yeah. So the long-winded answer to that is what I care about is that our people are feeling better and we are having less inflammation going through coursing through our veins. And so, I think that's going to be the goal for most people. But the long-winded answer is, yes, we have done studies with post-traumatic stress disorder, for example, and other headache studies where we've shown people with low heart rate variability, bad, increase their heart rate variability, good, with the use of vagus nerve stimulation without any other changes. I'm never going to be one to say, let's just do vagus nerve stimulation and start drinking and smoking. You know, you want to make this as part of your entire lifestyle change. You know, try to do your best to exercise every day, eat well, don't drink too much, and all those types of things. This is one tool in your toolbox to improve your overall health.
I think there's little danger that people who pursue this are going to abandon their healthy lifestyle practices. I think it's going to be part of an all of the above approach. Well, great stuff. Okay. So, can you predict any new developments or anything, new areas that you're working on, may materialize in the next couple of years?
Well, one of the areas I filed a patent, a couple of years ago now that I'm working on improvement in telomere length.
Ooh.
For those people, you mentioned improvement in longevity. telomere length or telomere shortening has been associated with a increased mortality. So if you can increase your telomeres, that's associated with an improvement in longevity. So that's an area that I'm working on, and it kind of makes sense that the stress response that's associated with modulation of telomerase, which is what controls those telomeres, that's part of it out there, and we can modulate the stress response. We may be able to modulate telomeres. And so that's an area that is a really great interest to me is this the next longevity drug? You used that term earlier today, but is this that next longevity bioelectrical pseudocol?
That's a great term that you've really coined, an interesting term there. One other way you can gauge that is with these so-called methylation clocks. They're aging clocks that look at specific levels of methylation, and now they've sort of tuned those to be organ specific, and that may be a way to add validation to that sure. Study yeah. You're contemplating. So yeah, this is just a very fascinating area, and I want to stay in touch with you because I think the developments are going to come fast and furious. And for those of our listeners who are out there desirous of partaking in this cutting edge technology, I have no interest in the company. This is not a sponsor by any means, but it fascinates me. And I think that this is going to be a really important emerging area in medicine. So thanks, Dr. Peter Staats, for being a pioneer in this area. And I think it takes a little courage, I think, to depart from the conventional paradigm because this is a revolution in healthcare. And I think it's going to emerge as a very, very important component of an all of the above approach. So thanks.
Well, thank you very much. And I describe this as a 20-year overnight success since we've been working on this for quite some time now. But for your listeners who are interested, we are putting up a 501c3 nonprofit informational only on what the vagus nerve does. That's at bnsociety.org. VagusNerveSociety.org, bnsociety.org. You can get some information about upcoming lectures does it really matter the device type, et cetera. It's, we're just trying to increase the awareness of what's going on here and the diseases and therapeutic options of using electricity in medicine today.
And this is just an ecumenical website. In other words, it talks about your device, but it talks about the full gamut of potentialities of therapy.
Where we equally discuss implanted devices, meditation, auricular and cervical devices. So it's all comers. We're just trying to increase the awareness of what the vagus nerve does here.
Say it again. Vagus Nerve
Society, bnsociety.org.
Great. Excellent. Well, thank you very, very much for joining us, and I look forward to having a conversation with you in a little while to see how this progresses. So,
fantastic.
That's Dr. Peter Staats. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.